Ave Maria, this is Friar David with airmaria.com, and I'm here this evening with Jan Bielek, who is now going around talking about socialism and his experiences of living 33 years under socialism. Mr. Bielek, nice to have you here with us.
Thank you very much.
Can you tell us something? You were from Czechoslovakia, and you left in 1984, is that right?
Yeah, that's all right. I was born in 1951, left the country in 1984, so I was almost 33 years old. And all that life, I lived under socialism.
So you have a lot of things to say from firsthand experience. This isn't just theoretical knowledge. You lived through a socialist regime.
Yes, I lived through it, and as I keep saying during my presentations, I lived 33 years through it and never liked a minute of it.
It seemed to be something that welled up within you that it wasn't right. During your talk, you had a very interesting experience when you were not even yet 3 years old. And that's, most people don't remember a lot of things from their youth, that young. Can you tell us about that experience and how that sort of set the tone, it seems, for so much that came through the rest of your life there?
It was quite a bit of experience, I can tell you, and I still remember it very vividly. And what happened was the government or the secret police force pulled a guy from the apartment building that we lived in and squeezed him in a car, and the guy was never being seen again. And that was basically how the government worked and how created fear in people, so they wouldn't revolt against the government, they wouldn't stand up, they wouldn't voice their opinions, and they just would follow whatever the government told them to do. Otherwise, they were afraid that the same thing would happen to them.
That's how the minority was able to control the majority.
That's exactly how. It was by fear, and it worked quite well on my father, who was 30 years senior of me. And he was afraid of that detail so much that he wouldn't do anything that he wouldn't be allowed. And he basically policed himself and ourselves being outside of the apartment because he was so afraid that the similar destiny could follow us.
You mentioned that in the talk that socialism promises many great things. It sounds very good. Many of the promises sound very good on paper. But once it comes to practice, none of those things are really borne out the way they promise them. Is that right?
That's all right. Socialism looks very promising and very interesting and very uplifting on paper. But there is one thing that people have to keep in mind, that being able to live through socialism, we have to change the basic humanity of people to something that is non-existent, and it's humanly impossible to do. I could go into great details if you like to, but that would take me probably a long time. So basically, it looks very nice on the paper, but when it is done in the real life, it just fails completely.
So you were mentioning that they would promise a free education, work for everybody, free housing, all of these things. But it comes with the catch that the government owns everything, and the government controls your life, and the government tells you what it is you have to do, where you have to do it, and all of those things.
Right. Yes, government has 100% control over everything. They control your mind, they control your soul, they control your body, your family, the whole life from the crib to your grave.
You mentioned a story that your younger brother, during a test for math or some such thing.
Your older brother, okay. He was 6 years old, I was 5 years old, and he was doing his first test in his first grade. And before the teacher had a chance to give him the test paper, he crossed himself. And the teacher noticed that and reported that to the secret police. And it created a huge wave of repression against the whole family.
So when someone did something wrong, it wasn't just that individual. And wrong here is making the sign of the cross by a six-year-old before a math test. But the whole family suffers for that, not just that individual.
Exactly. Doing something wrong that the government didn't approve. That's the meaning of being wrong. So whatever you do and the government doesn't approve it is wrong, and then the whole family is prosecuted. Your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, you name it, your family, your in-laws, everybody is affected.
And when you were telling the story about how you had to, when you bought the Bible for your family, you had to do it sort of undercover, and it sounded almost like a drug transaction. If you were caught doing it, you would be thrown in jail. If you were caught with this Bible, you would be thrown in jail. They treated it as something illegal, and no one could know it could be done. You had to be very careful who you had to, with whom you transacted this business.
You're completely right. Yes. The Bible or any kind of religious materials were not available in stores because the government, of course, controls stores as well. So it was sold on the black market. But as you said, yes, you're right. One had to be very careful who the purchase is made from, because if it is an undercover government official or undercover cop and you make the purchase, it's just like buying drugs. You're going to end up in jail, and then again the whole family follows with you. They may not end up in jail, not all of them, but they're going to be prosecuted. Someone, let's say your cousin, will not be able to go to high school. Your father wouldn't be able to collect part of his pension plan. Your mother wouldn't be allowed to go to vacation. Or the repression were on different levels, but everybody within the big family would suffer somehow.
And you had many more examples of this sort of thing happening. What was it that moved you to begin speaking about this and the dangers of socialism? Why are you going out speaking of this topic now?
As I said during my presentation, what prompted me was a similar development in this country leading to socialism. That was one thing. The other thing, one of my colleagues said that socialism is the best imaginable political system, and that really prompted me to put the presentation together and seek out groups of people who would be interested listening to me and considering what is it that I have to say. Is it similar? You make your own choice. I'll give you the presentation. I tell you the facts that I lived through my life, and you make the decision if this is right or wrong. If it is affecting your life, is it similar to development over here? I think it is, but we may not agree.
In the beginning, you spoke of how it began. It was right after the war. People were busy with their lives and weren't really paying attention to what the government was doing. So you were, can you speak on that a bit?
Well, it all started right after end of World War II, when Russians were allowed by a Yalta agreement to, after evacuation of U.S. troops, to go into Czechoslovakia. And during that time, there were already starting their own seats. They were getting rid of people under the cover of war. They were not very comfortable with. And during the next 3 years, it progressed into the situation where the whole government, the Congress, the President, the House of Representatives, and everything was changed over to just communists, nobody else. And everybody who used to own a piece of property, used to own money and everything, that was taken away from him, and the person was either persecuted, jailed, killed, or chased out of a country.
And it happened in just a matter of a few years' time.
It happened between 1945 and 1948, within 3 years.
Well, we have a lot of things to sit up and take note of. Thank you very much for your talk. You're a man of courage, and I hope that your message is heard by many people, that many people start considering the experiences you've had and how it pertains to our own lives.
Thank you very much, Stu, and thank you for listening to me.
God bless you.
God bless you.
This is Friar David with AirMaria.com. Thank you.